Great. Thank you for giving me a bit of time. I know it's all about the public screening for the AIDC coming up in March. You're part of the program, but Dip in Black, can you say it in language?
Marunga
I don't know. I was trying to get that right.
chala
I thought, because it's such a great language, all the different First Nations language, because it trips along like a running child, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tipped in Black, it did phenomenally well overseas. How did you get this film to happen?
Oh, Derek, do you want to do that one?
No.
I think the best answer might be by hook or by crook. We just knew that it was a film that we really wanted to make and need to be made, and Derek really knew that his story needed to get told. And we just tried to make the systems that be work towards that goal as best as they could. Like, film is a very economic or economically linked art form, and it's immensely expensive to undertake anything, even a short. And so I guess practically it came from concerted effort, since we first started shooting in 2019 through to when we finished in 2022.
I mean,
Yeah.
obviously you're friends, and so
Yeah. Yeah.
and so you've decided that you wanted to actually do this, but and it's a sort of a retelling of your life, and it's a documentary, but it's also you, Derek, you talk about being in two worlds even as your little kid. A film and your life. That's a perfect example of it being two worlds, isn't it? How do you visualize a telling of a story of this nature?
Well, for I think when we started filming, like for me, I had a completely different vision to visualize how it's gonna be filmed and be played out. So I guess we went in, we had the story, we know where we were heading. And along the way there's been a lot of changes, but
The essential elements are there.
the essential elements were all there, and it took a very long time.
I mean, you're in Adelaide, then you go to country and you ask the local people, your people, is it okay to do the filming?
Yeah, we when we went back in 2019, some family and some, there was a bit of like, didn't know what was going on. But during COVID, we, Matthew cut a trailer up, and then when we went back the second time around to finish the film, everybody was all on board.
Yeah, right. All right, so
Yeah.
they gave permission to tell the story.
Yes.
Classic case of show don't tell. We
Yeah.
sat down and had many conversations and talked to people, and you can get a certain understanding. And even for Derek and I, it was like once we'd shot something and we could put that together and Derek could feel what it was going to be, then it was like everything changed. And we all had a clear picture of how we were working together and what we were working towards, and I think it just got people very excited,
Yeah.
because I'm a white fella, I'm coming into a community that's not mine, and I think there's an element of mistrust there, which is fair, but you change that through time.
I'm quite interested in the fact that you developed the film as it was. I mean, it's like handmade film, isn't it, really? Because usually they'd write a script and then you'd go ahead and you'd do it. But in fact, you actually developed it as it was being made, right?
Well,
I mean,
it's this thing called like a docu-fiction, which where we had a script and we kind of knew what we were going to go film, but I don't know, we were just open to the things that would come, you know? What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that as well. Me and Matthew, we give, we wrote the script, we developed it, and we set out. And the first time around, and there were things that we missed. And we just developed it along the way during COVID, and went back and shot everything, and it's a whole nother process as well when then you've got the script, and then you're out on country filming, and then the editing process. So it's all, you have to play around with all of them.
Well, the country is so beautiful, and the sounds that you use are so beautiful as well.
No, we were lucky to go back to country after 2 years. And the first time we went back, it was actually hot and dry, and it was actually drought. And so the second time we went back, we were blessed by the ancestors in the country that, they made the country beautiful by, having a big rain up there, and the river was flowing. Everything was so green and lush, and so beautiful. The colors were beautiful, the sunsets and the mornings. Yeah, everything was just beautiful second time around.
How do you feel about having a film that's all about you? Or is it all about you?
I mean, part of it's about me, but I feel that telling a story, a certain story, I think for me, I feel there's a part of me that's like, yay, at the end of the film, like telling a story that's important for people to watch and listen to. I feel that I'm giving a bit of, I'm giving this world to people to go on this journey to, and learn from through my story. And part of my story is that's part of my story, and that's part of everyone's story.
Well, it's like this thing you say in the clip that is put out to promote this film, that Australia has got a lot of names. It's not just because of all the people who lived here in for 60,000 years. It's got lots of names, and just like you, your story means that all the different people here are all different types. It's not a stereotype person.
No, exactly. Got a lot of names.
Yeah, got lots of names. I was going to ask you, how did you edit? Because it's such a personal story, and it's actually quite a complicated story. Like, it's re actually really complicated, but you've managed to tell us in 24 minutes. I mean, it's very short, really, but it's very complicated. How did you manage to do that?
With the single
Wow.
human in the world, Nicola Powell, who theater that I've worked with for a long time, and she's just a brilliant artist in her own right, and she just wrangled it together, you know. I mean, Derek, you can tell the story about being in Greece.
Yeah, no, we edited in Athens, and yeah, Nicola is just a phenomenal, very talented, young, beautiful lady, and very talented in the editing space. And so we sat there, and every day we would go through, and for someone who has never been to Australia and to sit there and go through and everything, like, she was like in sync with me and Matthew and everybody that was back here. And we were cutting drafts after drafts after drafts and sending it, and we were like looking at the Tina videos on YouTube, and picking out which one, and one just popped up randomly, and we just like, great, that's it, that matches the gold dress in the sequence at the end, and but to edit it all, it took, there were things, there was Agreements and disagreements, you know. There's things that I wanted in there. There were some shots Matthew wanted in there. He was like, no, I don't want that in there. Oh, maybe you should put this. No, I don't think. And Nikki was a perfect combination to, work with both of us and say, maybe try this, maybe try that, this over here, and, and just made the story flow. And yeah, and I felt like editing it over in Greece, in Athens, it kind of gave me that space as well, And it's a very spiritual place as well. So it gave me
Isn't
that,
gosh, make a film and go to the best places in the world.
And it really helped me, focus
Yeah, amazing.
in putting everything together and telling the story how it should be told.
And the kids that you got to play you as different in at different age groups, were they from the community?
Yeah, they were, except the little dumb. He was visiting from Mimili community in South Australia, just over the border. And the first time we went back, we were filming a scene where I was driving from the roadhouse onto the dirt road. And we stopped near this, there was a little hill there was a little hill, and they were like on the other side of the hill. And we were shooting like a couple of times. And then as we went over, when we finished, as we were ready to drive over the hill, they actually came over the hill. And yeah, we helped them, and I was like, oh, little Dom, and Matthew was like, great, he's perfect to be your little Derek. And then the three fellas, the two, all of them are from Fink. All of them are my nephews.
So that's
And
kind of
everybody,
exciting.
and everybody who appears in the film other than Derek is not actor, real person.
Yeah, real person. They must have liked that. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, they really enjoyed it. They were blown away, when we got there. Well, me and Matthew got there a week before the crew, and when the crew got there, with all the equipment, they were like, wow, this is a real deal, and so they were like all on board, like straight away. The day that the crew rocked up was the day that we went to the river, the afternoon, the evening. Spent the first shoot out there.
That's really exciting. Did you have a screening there?
Yeah, we did. We did have a screening, but it wasn't the right timing. The timing wasn't right for it to screen. I mean, a few of the families saw it. Few of the other families saw it, I think, a few weeks ago. They had a little private screening. But love to have an official screening in Alice Springs.
Oh, isn't that interesting? You point in this film, it actually does point out a really lot of stuff about time and what's the right time and what that means and how different it is in a Western context and the differences between the way, Westerners are organized around
We white fellas love pragmatic linear time, just like we like to quantify things, and it was just never how Derek talked about story, any story, whenever we were talking. And especially with, I remember when we were writing the script together, I'd be doing these long interviews with Derek, and he'd say, oh, but that relates back to this thing that happened, when I was seven. And then he'd tell that bit, and then he'd come ahead and go, well, and then yesterday this other thing happened. And I think that just became out of the way the story was, because it was the way that Derek was kind of telling the story to me.
Were you blown away that you received the such awards at the Berlin Film Festival?
No, actually, I was actually going there absolutely blank. I was like, great, we're going to Berlin. And Matthew lived there for a few years, and I was like excited to see the city. And Wasn't thinking too much about, the festival and how big of a deal it was, and for me it was just flying in, and I remember everyone were like, you're gonna win this award, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just go along for the ride. And yeah, and when we got there, I think it didn't really sink in until, when we won the Teddy. And I was still, the adrenaline was still high. And the next day, because it was the finale, and it was the big awards night, and to win a silver there, it was mind-blowing. I was still high, like I was still, partying in the party mood. The energy was still high, and Matthew's all, sitting there real nervous. And it didn't really sink in until it took me 12 months to actually realize how important and how big of a deal it is to win a silver bear. No one has it in this country except us.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. What about you, Matthew? This must be a bit of a boost to your career as well.
If you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have been like, yes, absolutely. But I don't know, it's like that thing, everybody talks about it. You see people win an award at whatever festival, and especially when they're your peers, and you catch up for coffee with them and you go, well, did Spielberg call? And the answer is almost invariably, no, not yet. So it was a bit the same for us. I mean, what's amazing about it is, that Derek got to be up on that stage and have his film seen in that way and have his story seen in that way, and as it deserves to be. And then I guess for me, it was kind of a nice close to a 4 year chapter that I'd spent in Berlin. And to be honest, it had been a bit it had not kind of gone the way that I thought it would in terms of my art practice or just my life. And so, kind of when we were invited back, it felt like this really beautiful way to close, this chapter. And yeah, that's probably what it was for me.
Well, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? Life's a bit like that. You're only as good as the last thing you did, really. But it's really not the point, is it? It's the real point is having the film out there and having people actually appreciate the world that you're talking about in that film.
Yeah, and I think that the thing about it is, like, it was just an amazing experience to go through, as a group of mostly white fellas who came up to country, to Derek's country, and to Apatula's community, to learn and to be a part of telling story. And it's the single greatest privilege of my life. And hopefully some of what we all learned making that film, as people who are visitors to this country, can also then be maybe received by audiences who might also be visitors to this country.
Oh, that's so interesting. You're going to do a screening for AIDC. You're going to do an extended Q&A, so people should get along and check it out, right?
Yes, they should come along and check the film and, check out the Q&A as well. And throw them questions out,
Are you going to wear the wonderful dress?
No, I don't know where it is.
That was great, that sequence. Just absolutely fabulous. People have to go and see the film to see the last sequence, if nothing else. Thanks for talking to me.
Such a
Oh,
pleasure.
such a pleasure, too.